This is Josh Thorpe. It's Sunday, April 24th, 2011. And today I'm going to retrace the steps of a walk David Court and I did with Deborah Wang and Will Ellsworthy in May 2010. And I'll be recalling some of the things we talked about. Because it's Sunday and the doors to 401 Richmond are locked, I'm standing outside of the building. So if you're hearing this and you're inside the building, just head through the lobby and out the front door. I'm gonna walk west towards Spadina Avenue. And here we stop at the light. If you look south, you can see this funny place wide open. It was a laneway, but someone built a roof over it and called it a bar. So now I'm crossing Spadina Avenue to the west, towards this art supply store. I'm just going to turn left to head south towards Camden. And we'll just turn right. Okay. A few paces into Camden, you can see this gray building on the left, on the south side of the street. It's Teeple Architects. Number 5, Camden. It's a 3-story building, clad in gray cement board or fiber cement. We call that lapped cladding. And you can see that the third story is an addition. If you look at the change in brickwork on the side down this little alley, there's some murals in the alley you might want to have a look at. The area on the right was painted by a graffiti artist called Sector. And you can see he's used a kind of yellow cautionary paint that's similar to the paint that is conventionally used on city roads. And if you look back towards Spadina, you can see some traffic barriers that are sort of piled by the bike stands painted a similar yellow. And the building to the left here, some beautiful old fire escapes. Okay, so I'm just moving west again, away from Spadina, passing Avenue Open Kitchen. It's a very short street, Camden. Looking at the empty, I'm just passing an empty lot next to 21 Camden, and there's someone's thrown a traffic cone onto the shelter above this yellow doorway. 23.5 Camden here on the left. They've recently put on sort of gold ornamented gate and the address to match. And heading west still on Camden. You see at the end of the street, it's Waterworks building. It's built in the 30s. So on the right, there's kind of like a, I don't know, six-story condominium, and it was in the newspaper a few years ago because somebody in there hosts soirees or salons with sort of local celebrity thinkers and politicians. These condo buildings are not very high. Which is a bit of a relief, you know, with all the very high condo buildings that we see. There's a lot of pressure in Toronto to for development pressure to accommodate a lot of people. And just arriving to Grant Street, I believe. I'm just going to cross Grant Street and enter the park to the south of the waterworks. Just stop here to have a look at the park, and you can see there's a historical plaque. It was a public market here, this park, St. Andrews. And you can see the photos, a couple of photos here on display. Set aside in 1837 for a public market. The third after St. Lawrence and St. Patrick's. The market buildings were destroyed in 1860 and replaced in 73 by a grander Andrews Hall and Market. And that had grocers, butchers, police station, community hall, and even a public library. But as you see here in the last paragraph here, the market was not so successful. By 1900, it was largely unused and empty, eventually to be demolished in 1932. But then we also see here that since 1909, it's been a playground as well, and the city of Toronto's first property dedicated to and equipped for children's play. So walking through the park here, there's some children at play right now, actually. I used to work in a building on the south side of Adelaide. You can see it from here, next to the left of the Speedy Express. just on the corner there, 445. And one day there was a huge windstorm and it blew down one of the, you know, kind of medium to large sized trees over here. It lay there for days before the city came to cut it up and carry it off. So you'd see children climbing all over this sideways tree all day. If you turn around and notice the dog park. Here, there's a notice that says no commercial dog walkers allowed. Okay, so just coming to the end of the path at the west end of the park. Walking past a parking lot to the right with a couple playing frisbee in it. If you look up towards the west on the left there, there's an old advertisement that says Lovable. On the side of this three-story or four-story brick building. There was a photographer going around documenting all those old signs, but I can't recall his name. Now looking south through this lot here, there's a demolished, there was a building that's been demolished and next to 471 Adelaide, and it's now now gone, so you can see straight through to the back of a very old building, with and you can see the stairways of what it was attached to on the what's now the exterior of it. It's a beautiful yellow brick, painted brick, and a door at the third story leading to nowhere. And then looking behind at 480 Norman Rogel, it's a strange form. It's sort of like a modern take on a mansard roof, and this funny triangular protruding window area that goes up a couple of stories. And then reflective glass behind it, so you see the architecture of this of this window form reflected in the panes of glass behind. Okay, so continuing west now, and if you look down to the terminus of Adelaide, you see St. Mary's Church there, completely wrapped in this protective, green protective netting, and the scaffolding that goes all the way up the church. So just coming to Portland in a few paces, and I'm going to turn right to walk north up Portland. And you can see that the real mix of typologies in this neighborhood, with these old houses and, you know, single-story warehouses as well, mixed with slightly larger scale newer condominiums. I'm stopping here at uh, 139 with these sandblasted bricks. And sandblasting looks good, but it's very bad for the integrity of the brick because you remove the fired layer and expose the soft ceramic underneath, and the brick just starts to disintegrate, which you can see in several places here. I'm just stopping now at 143 and 145. Calls to mind a body of work that Gary Neil Kennedy did in 1995, a series of 32 snapshots called House Divided, and they're photos of Toronto homes that show that very common domestic motif where you have two halves of a duplex or of attached houses painted two different colors, and the line goes up to the pointed dormer, like here. Look. Okay, so continuing north now to Richmond. I'm going to backtrack a little bit and turn right just to just get a look at a garden here. So I'm just crossing Richmond and then I'm going to turn right. And you can see the sign here, Alex Wilson Community Garden. Turn left into the garden and take a look. We can see there's this rainwater you would expect this is some kind of there's a rainwater collection at some point on the roof, and then you have a pipe that brings it down into these cisterns sitting by the wall. And there's an alley just north of here that leads to north to Queen Street, and this has become a very common pedestrian shortcut from Richmond to Queen. So I see cayenne planted, Caribbean red pepper, thyme, rosemary, and last year we saw lovage, strawberries, chives, mint, spearmint, and basil. So I'm going to return to the wood path and turn right, head north to the alley. And you can see this this alley here is called Graffiti Alley, and it's every year for a 24-hour period the city sanctions graffiti here. And artists come down in scores, their spray paint and bottles of beer. you can see that there's a horizontal strip sort of painted and prepared on some of these buildings, sort of designating the area for graffiti artists. And that's a strategy used all over the city by property owners. The painted band suggests a framing or designation so that the connotation of vandalism disappears. And so just turn around and hit west. Down the alley toward a condo development on Portland. Now, this is almost done, but when we walked this last year, they were just pouring the cement for the second story, and we could see there were holes pocking the surface, and that's called honeycombing, and it's an indication that the there's air that's gotten in and is not considered to be a very good pour, and it probably doesn't have any structural issue, but it may just indicate a sort of careless attitude. And apparently, I'm just heading south now towards Richmond Street again, and apparently it's difficult to get good concrete in Toronto, whereas a place like Vancouver or in Japan, concrete is poured, and maybe the climate, but you get more commonly very, very good concrete pours. Okay, so I'm turning right on Richmond again, so I'm heading west and walking by this condo still on under construction, Ryokan Real Estate Investment Trust. To the south, to the left, you see this mirror, very reflective mirrored surface, kind of a tinted mirror. To the right, walking past just this great open, what will probably be a parking area. There's a backhoe and some other machinery there, scissor lift of some kind, cherry picker maybe. Okay, I've just come to an alleyway at 586 Richmond, and I'm gonna turn right, follow it. And this alley brings us to the site of the a recent Toronto fire that brought down several buildings. And when we visited a year ago, there was a big pit with like sort of cesspool at the bottom. And now they've filled in a bunch of that. There's still a huge mound of garbage here. I remember last year seeing burnt tires and other refuse from the fire. You can see pallets of cinder blocks and bricks. And then the sort of plywood hoarding at the Queen Street property line. And then of course on the side of the building to the west, there's huge, huge graffiti. It says Rax Manor. Okay, leaving the site now. Heading west again. And walking by a building called the Burroughs Building, and you can see that there's a connection between it and the building to the south, and apparently there's an artist studio in there. Kind of corrugated steel, rusting steel, I guess. And almost now to Bathurst, and you can see some wooden. Wooden patch ups to the brick hole in the brickwork on the south side of this building that used to be the big bamboo, the big bop. Apparently they're gonna put a Crate and Barrel or some other chain in there. Okay, coming to Bathurst, we're gonna turn south to Richmond again and wait for the light to cross west. Okay, crossing west. And continue along Richmond. To the west. Coming to the elementary school here. And as we pass 646 here, notice this strange quality in the second floor windows. $6.60 here. Really unusual color on the brick. Sort of a salmon orange with yellow. Yellow bricks used to sort of ornament that. We're passing these houses, and just as we've come to Tecumseh here, looking south at this sort of polychrome brick facade. And Will and Deb pointed out when we were walking before that a lot of these houses from a certain era are actually just woodstud houses with a brick veneer. So crossing Tecumseh now, passing the Baptist Church. You can see it's actually brick construction on the corner here, and then it's been cemented over to appear to be, you know, these kind of large, majestic stones. So moving west still in Richmond. There's a lot of sort of renovations on this street, and you can see to the south, I think there was a really tiny old property there at one point, and this this new kind of hulking building at the moment is it's you can see that all the surfaces are plywood. And it's really nice to see that that color amongst all this brick. And then the house to the left of it, notice the change from the facade that's this sort of this imitation brick to like a vinyl siding, light yellow vinyl siding on the west side. See these kind of collaboration of different skins on the outside of the house. And to the north at 702 and 704, you see again these different surface treatments on the different properties. Again, sorry, to the north that was, and to the south at 715, beautiful yellow and white house divided. I'm just passing 737 here and noticing this really lovely baby blue ornaments on the wrought iron fencing. And these patterns, I was talking with Scott Sorley about this, the patterns in these old wrought iron fences are often chosen to signify something about the people that live there. Okay, if we look at 742 on the north side there, you can see it's got black mortar and kind of a cream-colored bricks. And that mortar that's called raked, it's raked joints. The mortar is recessed from the surface of the brick, but only on the two columns there. than we have as we're continuing west. A series of more contemporary townhouses built in a sort of a modern Victorian style. And in the a little later in the year, the vegetation planted here is tons of light greens and yellows that sort of pair up with the yellow brick and the cream-colored window frames. Coming to Niagara Street now, Richmond and Niagara, and I'm just gonna pause the recording for a moment. So, standing here at Niagara and Richmond, just looking north towards Queen Street and seeing these sort of parking barriers, and two of them are painted red and one blue, and I think that's by this group of young artists called, I think they're called the Urban Beautification Squad or something like this, and they go around spray painting things in water-soluble paint. Okay, so just gonna go south here, away from Queen towards the continuation of Richmond Street. Richmond Street here jogs south, and you know, I've already seen how it changes from a main artery to a very quiet residential street, going opposite directions actually. And you know, probably Richmond, what's now called Richmond Street, was at one time several different streets with different names, serving different purposes. So just continuing along Richmond here, past the Lamp Factory, and you see that on the facade of the Lamp Factory there, well, there's several different bricks. You see the smaller brick to the left, adjoining these larger cinder blocks. But just draw your attention to the yellow pipe that goes up along the building and over onto the roof. And that's generally, when you see a pipe that's painted yellow, it's a gas line, and that tells you not to mess with it. Okay, so moving west again towards Walnut. And you can see on this building too, these kind of strange circular portal windows. Now I'm just gonna cross Richmond heading south and along Walnut Avenue. Now, passing an interesting housing development, 170, 168, 166, and notice that there's these kind of triangular trellises that are installed, presumably for tenants to use to guide climbing plants, but nobody's using them at all. And again, kind of trellis-type structures on the columns of this next structure near the corner. Just stopping at the corner here and looking back at where I've come from. I noticed these huge metal containers, three of them attached to the roof of the this old brick building that we've already passed, and wondering what those could be, some part of some kind of ventilation system for an old woodworking shop or something like this, perhaps. And now just crossing Adelaide Street West, and this is Stanley Park. I'm not going to go into the park, but just walk past and notice these swells in the ground, these little hills, which are appealing. Strange building to the left here across the street. It's kind of a very light yellow or off-white brick. Very long building. It's like address is 20 Stanley. And it's kind of got this fake A-frame facade stuck onto the second story exterior, resembling some kind of Bavarian hall. You could almost imagine it was they'd taken some timber from an old barn in rural Ontario and sort of reconstructed this this facade. And look at this little grotto for the electric meter and a little wrought iron fence in front of it. Another interesting detail on the very corner of the building. Look at the brickwork along that corner. Very deliberate detail, almost like a hinge, like the brick is folding. Okay, I'm gonna continue down to King. I'd cut through, but it looks like it's fenced at the south end, which is very common in Toronto parks to have fences around. And you know, normally they don't, although officially parks close at midnight. Oh, and look, we see the same kind of brickwork on a couple of the buildings further south. I just noticed to the left. I was saying about fencing around parks. Parks officially close at midnight in Toronto. It's rarely enforced, but you can see the fencing here. You know, this close, it never locks up this park. And one would assume that the fence is there to keep children from to sort of dissuade them from running out into the street, maybe to stop errant balls and other toys. So walking west now on King Street. Coming up to Stanley Terrace now, we see a rare telephone booth. Just so few of them left anymore. and passing Stanley Terrace, looking south across King Street to these really charming old, very dark brick apartments. I was inside one of them once, and some of the floorboards were missing. You could see right down to the basement. And I'm going to carry on until Massey Harris Park, which is not far from here, and conclude there. Just past Stafford Street, crossed. So, coming to the intersection here with a traffic light crossing Strawn Avenue. And I'm going to cross cross King at Strawn here to the south. And turn right to head west. Okay, so here we are at the Massey Harris Building. It's gonna turn south here into this kind of courtyard or plaza area and have a look at this plaque on the side of the building. In memory of the members of the staffs of the offices and factories of Massey Harris Company. And this is a classical style building. It's got these beautiful bay windows with turned wood pilasters. And I guess those notches at the top are dentils. The dental, of course, that means tooth, and that, according to some, it comes from ancient Greek structures that were originally large altars or temples, and they were used for animal sacrifice. And then you would have the scene of the sacrifice would be decorated with the remnants of the animals, and other fetishes related to the event. The teeth, the dentals, the dart that would have killed the animal. Garlands and plants. Okay, and I'm out of the plaza again. I'm gonna walk west. And just coming to the park now, turning left onto a boardwalk, which just has the slightest, seems to have the slightest roundness to it, like it's a slight hill in the boardwalk. And you can see, looking back towards the Massey Harris building, that it was made into two stages, the front on the left here, and then probably in addition on the back, you'd see the different foundation line and different brickwork. And now turning our attention to the park for a second. It's a very, very strange park to me. There's a stairway somewhere here that leads nowhere. And even if you just look at this path that's protrudes out into the grass, it comes right out and without meeting the boardwalk and ends in the middle of the lawn. It's almost as though it's trying to encourage people to go out onto the grass, and yet the ending is extremely abrupt.